Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Metzia Daf Ayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, the third line. It says the Gemara Amar of Onan Amar Shmuel Moshe Yisrael Yisraimim. If we have money that's owned by Yisrael, and there's an apotropos, obviously, there's an administrator who is in charge of the Yisraimim's funds, Mutta Lalvaisam Baribis. The halacha is that one can lend, and the Gemara is, of course, going to elaborate on this halacha, but one could lend that money with ribbis. And as the Rishonim point out, even though the halacha is, that the halacha is, we're not allowed to actively give a cotton to do an aveira, and some say, even if we see a cotton doing something, we have to stop him. Here, the halacha is that halacha is only when the cotton is doing the aveira by himself. And since if the cotton is doing the aveira by himself, we need to be concerned that if we're going to allow him to do the aveira when he's a cotton, he will continue doing so when he is a gadol. But here, as we just explained, it's not the cotton himself who's doing the iser. It's the apotropos. So the cotton doesn't have any experience that ribbis is permissible. That's why it's mutter. Amalei Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman, Mishum de Yasmin Ninu, just because the Yisoymim Safinalu Asira, does not mean that the latter do something which is wrong. Yasi Bel Achmi, the latter do something, the Yisoymim that take money that they're not supposed to take, in other words, interest money, Lezel Basra Shavkayu, he used a very strong wording. He's saying that they should follow the people that who left them. In other words, they too should not exist if they behave that way. And the Rishonim point out that even if it was not Ribbis D'Raisa, even if it's Ribbis D'Rabbanon, how could we be lenient? Amalei, so because of this strong reaction, Rav Nachman said to Rav Anun, Emily is a goof of the Hachihava. Exactly what happened that you're saying that the Yisoymim were working with ribbis. Amalei, so Rav Anun said the story was as follows. Hahu Duda, there was a copper pot, the B'nai Mar Ukva Dehava Be Mashmul, that was in the home of Shmuel, there was a pot, this pot, copper pot, that belonged to the Yisoymim, who were the children of Mar Ukva. And Shmuel would rent out that pot, and like that, the Yisoymim would have income. And when he would rent it out, Tokel V'yavle, he would weigh it before the person who leased it would pick it up, and Tokel V'shokele, and he would weigh it when it was returned, and if there was any copper missing because it was used, the renter would have to pay for that depreciation. But, says the Gemara, Shokel Agra V'shokel Pechsa, not only did he take a rental fee, he also took a fee for the depreciation. And the halacha is, I Agra, if this is a rental, so the halacha is then loy pachsa. When you rent something out, it's expected that there's going to be depreciation, and that's part of the rental fee. So if you're not going to collect the depreciation, that's fine. You're going to collect the rental fee. Fi pachsa, but if you're going to collect depreciation, loy agra, you're not supposed to get the rental fee. And I sort of was trying to point out that even though taking both a rental fee and a depreciation fee is not ribbis d'oraisa, it's only ribbis d'rabbanan. But the Gemara is holding now that if ribbis is mutter by Yisoymim, it should be mutter by d'oraisa and by the rabbanan. But if we're saying that we can't be lenient by ribbis, even though they're ketanim, it shouldn't be mutter, even if it's ribbis d'oraisa, even if it's ribbis d'rabbanan. Amalei, says the Gemara, your proof is not a compelling proof. Kiha, taking payment in this way, afilu b'dekanani, even by Yisoyimim who are adults, nami shari lemevet. And I saw that the Paiskim make a very important point. We're learning in our Gemara, we're going to develop this a little further, that the Halacha differentiates and does offer certain leniencies by Yisoyimim who are Tanim. The question is, what is the definition of a katan? So typically, in halacha, the definition of a katan is below 13-year-old, and above a 13-year-old is a gadol. But here, the Gemara doesn't use the word gadol. The Gemara uses the word the kanani. The definition of the word the kanani means that they have a beard. The point being that the differentiation in halacha that differentiates between gedolim and ketanim is not below bar mitzvah or above bar mitzvah. It's if they have a beard or not. What does the Gemara mean with the beard? It's not the beard specifically. What it means is that if they're already mature and they could take care of themselves, then they're not considered ketanim. But if they're not mature enough, even though they are above bar mitzvah, but they're not mature enough yet to take care of their affairs, then they're still called gedolim. That's why the Gemara uses the word the kanani. So says the Gemara, this type of relation, this type of deal, ha, I feel a bit kanani nami sharon levit. Everybody could do this. The ha, mekabla layu, the owner of the pat, the yisoyimim, are taking a loss. Chuscha den chosha, the amount of copper. The kam de makli, the nachsha, that there's also not just the amount of copper that may be there or less after it's used, but there's another consideration. And that is the consideration that the copper is not the same quality. Because since it was in a fire, it's not on the same quality. And therefore, the halacha is that it is considered a rental. And if it's considered a rental, we don't have a yiribis issue. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Rishayel, Amar Rav Chizda, Vamalei, Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes, Moshe Yisoyimim, the money of Yisoyimim Ketanim, Mutar LaHalvoisam, we spoke a number of times in our Shurim about the Heter Iska relationship, where we have the investing partner and the managing partner. When we have Moshe Yisoyimim, Mutar LaHalvoisam, they could be lent out in a fashion of Karv L'Schar, the Karv L'Hesed, that the person who receives the money, normally we said they could divide everything 50-50, and he also has to be paid for his work. Here, the halacha is that they could divide it not in that fashion, because even though it's being divided where the investing partner will get more than maybe he's entitled to, the halacha is still, they may not get anything because there may not be any profit. So even though in a normal situation, we've said that that is usur, here by Yisoyimim, we're lenient. And even though it's avak ribis, by Yisoyimim, we're lenient. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tana, the Rambam, and the quotes the Shema Goinim, that not only this type of ribbis are we lenient with Yisoyimim, but any ribbis the Rabbanon, says the Rambam, is mutter by Yisoyimim. The Ritva, however, quotes his rabbi, that every ribbis the Rabbanon is also not only by Gedolim, but it's also by Ketanim. This particular type of ribbis, which is very lenient form of ribbis, as we're going to learn, is what is mutter by Yisoyimim, only the Yisoyimim Ketanim. Tana Rabbana Karv L'Schav Rochel of Hesed, if somebody lends his money in an Iska relationship, where it's more likely he's going to get profit and not take any of the loss, is Nikra Rasha. Such a person is called a Rasha. If he does it Karv L'Hesed, that he takes more of the loss, but not an equal share in the profit, such an individual is called a chassid. So I saw that the Rishonim ask, why is he called a chassid? Why isn't he called a chassid shaita? That he is losing money. He's putting himself into such a precarious situation. Says the, so because of that question, the Rishonim explain that it's not that he doesn't take any profit, but it goes back to what we discussed in our previous year, where we spoke about the B'nai Rav Ilish, that what proportion did they take? So even though the Gemara gave us the different formulas, what may be done, he takes less than he's deserving. Why does he do that? Because he's so concerned not to have a riba situation, he takes less than what the halacha allows him to take. Karv lezeh lezeh, and if he takes the share that he's entitled to, roch lezeh lezeh, reza midas kol adam, that is what is expected, that is what is acceptable. So, says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi L'Rav Yosef, Hani Zuzi the Yisayman, if you have money that belongs to Yisayman, Heichu Avdilahu, how should it be invested in a safe investment? Amalei, so Rav Yosef responded, Masinu L'Beidina, we appoint the Bezdin, the Yivin L'Zuzi Zuzi, and the Bezdin is the one that divides up the Yisayman's money, and the Bezdin is careful to give them every dollar with a calculation. Amalei, so Rav said, why is this considered a good approach? For Kakaya Karna, if we're going to do this, at a certain point, all of the principal will be gone. And that's not a good approach. Amalei, so therefore Rav Yosef said to Rabbi Mahechi Ovid, what do you do? Amalei, but Kinan Gavra says, we look for a wealthy person. This laid the Hava Pricha, that he has gold pieces that are certainly his. Why? So Rashi explains, if this person is able to bring gold pieces, how do we know that it's his? Because sometimes a person could put something up for collateral, but we have no real way of knowing that what he's putting up for collateral really belongs to him. But gold pieces, maybe it's just something that he's holding from someone else. But gold pieces, explains Rashi, is not something that other people will ask someone to watch. Because nobody's going to ask someone to watch something that doesn't have a simon, because they're going to have a hard time retrieving it. So if this person has gold pieces, it must be that they're considered, they really belong to this individual. So this person, the fact that he has gold pieces is a proof that he has money. And we take these gold pieces as a mashkin. And we give now the Yisoyimim's money to him. And we work out an arrangement of Karv L'Schar V'Roch L'Hefzid, which we just learned a moment ago, even though typically Halacha does not allow that. For Yosem, we allow it to happen. Avil Dova Masuyim, but if the person is able to show that he owns something which is expensive, as we just explained, Loy is not a proof that he's a wealthy man, because maybe what he's providing is a Dilma Bikotinanu. It's just something that he's holding that belongs to someone else. And now what's going to happen is, Dasa Mare, that the real owner of that object, Yav Simonim, will bring a simon for Shakalei and just take it back. And because of that, we don't trust unless he has gold pieces. Ask the Gemara. So, and now, if we find this individual, he's the right person to trust to manage the Yisoyimim's funds. Amar of Ashi, to which Rav Ashi asked, Teinach imishtaka gavri desle dava pricha. This is a great approach if you indeed could find a person who has gold pieces. However, asked the Gemara, Eloi mishtaka gavri desle dava pricha. We can't find such an individual. So we're back to our original question. Nechle de zuzu de yasmi. What's going to happen with the Yisoyimim's money? How will we be able to invest it? Ella, Amar Rav Ashi, Chazin and Gavir de Mashri Nechsei, we find a person who has property and nobody is claiming any issue on these properties. The Shama Umehemen, and the person has a reputation as a trustworthy individual, the Shama Din is Daraisa, and he follows to the halakhas of the Torah, he follows the Din Torah, Dulai Mekabel Shamta Drabanan, we have no experience that he did something that he should put into Chayrim, and we give it to him in a in Bezdin, in an Iska, which is Karv L'Schav Rochik V'Hefsid, which as we keep on discussing, under normal circumstances, is not permissible. But here, Rashi explains that we have the concept that we always discuss of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Because we have this concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that's how Bezdin could arrange such a transaction, which under normal circumstances the halacha frowns upon. What we learned in our shiur today is that in a situation of mitzvah, there are certain leniencies that the halacha allows for that under other circumstances would not be allowed for. The Paiskim discuss it was quite common that when somebody wanted to print a sefer, and in those days printing was particularly expensive, so they would borrow money and then have money to which to print the sefer, and after they printed and sold the sforim, they would have the funds to repay from whom they loaned the money, of whom they borrowed the money. The question is, can somebody who did that put into his sefer a thank you to that person who lent the money? Many Paiskim say that it's of course not permissible, because thanking a person who lent you money is usur because of ribbis. Reb Moshe, in the Shas Chuvas Igros Moshe, Yoridei Chelik Aleph Simon Samach, discusses this, and he says that if it's not written as a thank you, it's just written as a statement of fact that this person lent money for the printing of Svarim. So Reb Moshe takes two approaches, gives two reasons why even under normal circumstances we maybe would be machmer, would be strict because of Hilchas Ribbis in such a situation. Here we could be a little more lenient. One point Reb Moshe says is that there is a concept, the famous Tshuvas HaRashba, Mefarsimim Oisa Mitzvah. We publicize people who do a mitzvah. And this person did a tremendous mitzvah, and that's why it's appropriate to publicize what he did. And Reb Moshe seems to add the consideration that we've been discussing, that since it's a mitzvah, so even though under normal circumstances, as we're very much learning in our perek, Chazal taught us to be so careful and so strict when we speak about Hilchas Ribbis, but when it's a Dvar Mitzvah, we've been learning that there's room for certain leniencies. And this falls into that same category of a Dvar Mitzvah, that there may be room for certain leniencies. We begin now the sugya of Tzoyim Basel. Tzoyim Basel is, again, a type of a business relationship where one person brings the assets, brings the funds, and the other person works with it. So again, as we've been using the terms, an investing partner and a managing partner. Here, they decide that they are going to divide the profit. So that would be perfectly fine. But in a case where the managing partner takes upon himself to take all losses, that means if there's any loss, he's going to have to first pay back all of the principal to the investing partner. So now the question is that permissible and under what circumstances? We speak now about Tzoyim Basel. Tzoyim Basel means something like sheep because it's very firm. We could easily identify the sheep, and it has a fixed value. So says the Mishnah, Ein Mekabel Tzoyim Basel Yisrael. Two Jews cannot enter this type of an arrangement where the person, the managing partner takes upon himself the entire responsibility that if something will, if there'll be any loss, he's going to have to return to the investing partner all of the money he put in, all the value of what he put in. And that's why it's called soin barzel. Barzel means it's like iron. He is being guaranteed that his investment is secure under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, why may this not be done? Mishnei hu ribis. This is considered ribis derabbanan. Because since this investing partner is taking on the entire responsibility, so this can't be considered a bikadin. It's considered a halvah. And the profit that they're sharing, since the investing partner is not taking any loss, he's only going to share in the profit, that's going to be considered a situation of ribis derabbanan. And actually, as many Rishonim point out, we've already learned this halacha, that this would be considered ribis. So Rashi says the purpose of the Mishnah is not to tell us the halacha that we just learned, which doesn't represent a chiddush. It's coming to teach us the next halacha, which we haven't learned yet. The Ramban says no. Till now, we've been speaking about an iska, which is chatzi halva and chatzi pekodin. This is not that type of an iska. This is an iska where I'm giving to him completely as a pekodin, and maybe therefore it should be permissible. Teaches us the Mishnah that because the way the arrangement is structured, it looks like ribis, and that's why it's ribis drabonim. But says the Mishnah, I'm a kabun tzayim bazmal avik chavim. We can enter into such a relationship with avik chavim. And then the Mishnah says, furthermore, love a mehen or malvin oisam ribis. We can lend and borrow from a nochri with ribis. The came by geratoshev, and so too is the halacha by geratoshev. The Rishonim point out that when the Mishnah says that we could be lenient with a nochri, it doesn't only mean by ribis rabbanon, which is the case of tzoyim bazel. It even means with ribis doiraisa, ribis ktsutsa, as we're going to be learning, doesn't apply by a nachri. And says the Mishnah, so too is a ger toshiv. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Dal Rama Beis, brings a machloikus to Noyim, who exactly is a ger toshiv. Ramei's opinion is that any nachri who accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah is considered a ger toshiv. The Chum's opinion is they had to take upon himself to fulfill all Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Rashi paskins like Rameya, the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim. Why is he called a Ger Toshev? So the reason he's called like a Ger Toshev is because we know that Nochrim are not really supposed to be left to live in Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, Lo yeshvu be'artzecha pen yachdiu oischa loy. This Nochri may remaining at Yisrael. So we just learned the halacha that the din of ribis doesn't apply on by goyim. And of course, this is a very important halacha. And the halacha therefore is that any place where even if Jews have an investment, but it's not a place that's owned by Jews and managed by Jews, even though there's minimal Jewish investment, that's still considered nochri. And that would be the case most banks. Also, and we will discuss this further in our shiurim, Ramosha has a heter that the halacha of ribis doesn't apply by corporations. And we'll discuss what Ramosha means and where Ramosha's heter could be applied. Malvi is from Moisev Shalev Kachavim. A Jew can lend to another Jew Nochri's money with the consent of the Nochri, Avaloi Medas Yisrael. But you can't do so that when the Nochri doesn't offer consent. And in Mitzvah Shem, in tomorrow's shir, we will explain what this halacha means. Ask the Gemara, the Memra, we're saying that when we speak about a Tzoyim Barzel relationship, it's because the managing partner, Breshus the Mekabel Kaima, it's all under his control. It's as if he became the owner of it, and therefore, if he gives the person who gave it to him something for letting him have it, it's considered that he's paying him ribbis. Verminu asked the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus, Daf Tez Zayin on the base teaches us. Hamakabel Tzoyim Bazman Anachrim. If somebody received, a Jew had a Tzoyim Bazman relationship with a Nachri, that, and now we know that when an animal has a firstborn baby, a male, the halach is that that animal is a Bechor. So the question is, the Yisrael is the one that received this animal in the Tzoyim Bazman relationship. And the question is this animal considered a Jewish-owned animal or non-Jewish animal? The halach is Peturim Min Bechayra. So we see that it's not considered a Jewish-owned animal. So why, as far as this relationship is concerned, is it considered Jewish-owned? Answers the Gemara, Mabai Lakasha. How the Makabala Ansel Azusa, in a case where the person who gave the animal took a store upon himself, that if something, if the animal would go up in value, he's still responsible, so it's still considered the original owner's animal. Ha, our Mishnah speaking about where the managing partner, where the owner, Loi Makabale Ansevizula, the managing partner has the whole responsibility. Amale Rava, either Kabbala Mora, on Tzvizula, if we're going to say that the Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus is referring to a situation where the owner still has the responsibility if it goes up or down in value, how could we call that Tzoyim Bazel Karisle? How could we call it a Tzoyim Bazel relationship? And another Tony Sefer. And then the Gemara asks another question. If the halacha is differentiating, asks the Gemara, if the original owner still has responsibility, then it's not considered Tzoyim Bazel. And if he doesn't have responsibility, then it's considered responsibility. So when the Mishnah wanted to give an example where Tzoyim Bazel is permissible, the Mishnah said, our Mishnah said, I'm a kabbal Tzoyim Bazel, I'm a kechavim. Then there's no problem because it's you're doing this transaction with the Nachri. Ask the Gemara, we could have said a bigger chiddush, liflik b'didei. We could have been speaking about a Jew as well. And say, b'medva mamurim, when is a Tzoyim Bazel relationship prohibited? The like kibalei ayin tzivazayla, when the owner, the investing partner, doesn't have this level of responsibility. Avo kabamara ayin tzivazayla, if the investing partner keeps this level of responsibility, shapidami. So, and that would even be a bigger chiddush, that there's a case where we could have a Tzoyim Bazel relationship with a Yisrael. And therefore, says the Gemara, Elam Marava, Idiv Idiv Loi Kibbalei Marava, and Tzvizoyla. Both Mishnayis, the Mishnah here in Masechta Bava Metzia, and the Mishnah in Masechta Bechayrus, when it speaks about a Tzoyim Bazel relationship, it speaks about where the owner, the investing partner, doesn't have this level of responsibility if it goes up and down in price. The Gab Bechayrus, Hanatam Devlodz Ben Bechayra. So if now we're explaining that even the Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus refers to a situation where the owner doesn't have this level of responsibility. So why, if the person who received the animal is a Jew, should not there be a Chiyah Bechayra? Says the Gemara, Kim Delo Yav Zuzi. Because what will be the case at the end of this transaction when he's supposed to turn over the principal plus the profit to the Jew? And then also Nachri Tavsle Behema. The Nachri will keep the animal. The owner, the original owner of the Nachri will take the animal. If he can't find that animal, he'll take the children and say, you didn't pay me what you owe me. So since there's still a potential that the Nachri may foreclose on these animals, then if the halacha is, says the Gemara, call Yad Nachri b'emtzah. Whenever the Nachri has some relationship here, the halacha is patur min chayra. There's no chiyah b'chayra. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Mar b'chayna b'neshav l'tabis l'chayna dalem yikav tzenu. Mai l'chayna dalem Amar Rava k'goin shma malka. What the Gemara is saying is that if somebody lends money b'ribis, the government will ultimately confiscate his money. That's what happens if you do ribbis. Amrav Nachman, Amalahuna, by Netzucha filu ribis toiv kechavim. That even if you drink ribis from a Nachri, then you're violating the Issa of ribis and you're going to lose your money. Esei Rav or Rav Nachman, the Torah says explicitly, the Nachri Tashich. So, my Tashich. What does the Torah mean to say? Lav Tishach. Doesn't mean that the Torah said that you should take ribis from a Nachri. So how can we say that you're not allowed to take ribis from a Nachri? And the way the Mefarshim explain, what the Mefarshim explain is that if the Torah, maybe what Rav Huna means to say is that even though the Torah allows it, the Rabbanon, for good reason, as we're going to explain, said, don't take ribis from a Nachri. Because if you're going to take ribis from a Nachri, you may become accustomed to taking ribis and then end up taking ribis even from a Jew. So why is this a problem? So Mefarshim explained that there's a rule that we've discussed in our Shiurim. That even though Rabbanon, and that's what Shas is all about, have many situations where they say, they make gezeiros, that things that are really mutar or asur, the Chazal never say something which the Torah explicitly says is mutar. Chazal never will go and say that it's asur. And that's what the Gemara here means to say. It's inconceivable to the Gemara that if the Torah says l'nachri sashich, that we could take ribis from a nachri, that we, the Rabbanon, Rav Huna should say that the Rabbanon say we may not. Says the Gemara, loy, to which Rav Nachman says what it means is tashich, you could pay ribis, but it doesn't mean you're allowed to take ribis from a goy. Says the Gemara, v'sagid lav hachihu. It doesn't make sense to differentiate between paying a nachri ribis, which we're saying is permissible, and receiving ribis from a nachri, which is saying is osur. Says the Gemara, the Torah is not saying that we're allowed to give ribis to a Nachri. The Pasuk is focusing on a Jew and that you're not allowed to do ribis with a Jew. It says the Gemara that you're not allowed to do ribis with a Jew. I don't need this Pasuk to tell us that. About not taking ribis from a Jew, giving ribis to a Jew is explicit. The Torah says, L'chicha loisashich. Answers the Gemara, he's going to say what the Torah is trying to accomplish here is lava lava essay v'loyla says. To have not only are you over a mitzvah lois essay when you take ribis, but you're also over mitzvah essay. So the Gemara right now is still saying they're according to Rav Huna, we're not allowed to take ribis from Nachri, but we are allowed to pay ribis to Nachri. Eisvei asked the Gemara, the Mishnah said, we just learned, Lovin, Mehen, or Malvin, Ayusan, Beribis, we're allowed to lend and borrow money to a guy with ribis, the Cain, the Ger Toshev, and the Mishnah said, so too is the Alocha by Ger Toshev. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya, B'Rei Rav Huna, L'Nitzucha, what our Mishnah means to say is that when is that permissible? Ela B'Chdei Chayiv. In a situation where I need this for my panasa. And the way I saw many Rishonim explain, B'Chdei Chayiv means that Jews were very limited in opportunities for panasa. There were so many rules that prohibited Jews from doing different professions. So if a Jew, the only opportunity he had to make some money was by lending money with ribis. And therefore, the halacha is that's why they were lenient b'ktei chayiv. When our Mishnah says that we could do ribis with a nachri, it's only by Tamid Chachamim. And the Gemara explains itself. The Tamamai goes, Rabbanon, why did Chazal say that we're not allowed to do ribis with a Nachri? Shem Yilman Mimasov. We don't want you to come in contact with the Nachrim. Shekim Tamid Chachamim who, but when we deal with a Tamid Chachamim, the halacha is Lo Yilman Mimasov. That concern doesn't apply. There's interesting machlokes Rishonim. Now the Gemara is saying we're leaning by Talmud Chacham. What does that mean? Does that mean by Talmud Chacham we allow him to do any type of ribbis with a Nachri because we're not concerned that the Talmud Chacham is going to learn from the Nachri? Or even if it's a Talmud Chacham, we're being lenient, we're only lenient by Talmud Chacham Kedei Chayov. But more than Kedei Chayov, we're not going to be, by more Kedei Chayov, we're not going to be lenient even by Talmud Chacham. That's the Rabbeinu Hanan's approach. Rabban says, no, what the Gemara means to say is that by a Talmud Chacham, we do as much as necessary. He could do as much as he wants. And by everybody else, you could only do Kedei Chayov. Ikad Masla Hadar Rav Huna, that Rav Huna said by Ribbis Oiv Tukhavim, Ahad the Tanar Rav Yosef. The Pasuk says, Im Kesav Talv as Ami as Ani Imach. The halacha is that you allow as Ani Imach. And as the Rishonim point out, that normally when the Pasuk says Im, it means if. Here it means the Tasuk is coming to teach us, Ma'ami V'Nachri Ami Kaidim. That if you have option to lend money to a Jew or to a Nachri, lend to a Jew first. Ani v'asher, if you have opportunity to give money to a Jew or to a wealthy person or a non-wealthy person, ani koidem. Take care of the ani first. Ani echav, ani ercha, from your community and somewhere else, ani echa koidem. Your community comes first. Aniyacha means your relatives and ani that's not your relative, your relative comes first. Aniyacha v'aniyerach eres, your city and another city. Aniyacha kaidman. Amar ami v'nachri ami kaidim. If it's a Jew or a guy, the Jew goes first. Astmar pshita. Amalei Rav Nachman Amalei Huna leNitzchah dafila nachri beribis. Even for the Nachri, I could be receiving ribbis. And the Yisrael, I will not get ribbis. Still, the halacha is that we could go to the, you have to do the Jew first. However, the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Ahavas Chesed says that if you're in the business of lending money with interest, then, of course, you could lend money to the Nachri for ribbis, because you're not doing it because of the chesed. When we speak about chesed, so chesed starts with the Yisrael first. But if what you're doing is not because of chesed, it's because of business, then the halacha is that you have to take care of, you have to take care of the order that we just learned. Moreover, we learned here that the halacha that you should lend money applies to everyone. Because the Gemara says that you even should lend money to an usher. Ani v'asher, ani kaidim. But that doesn't mean that lending money to an usher who needs money is not a mitzvah. And the Shas Tshuvas, Mishnah Alochas, Chela Gimel Siman Kufn and Dalet, asks an interesting question. You have two people. One is an usher, who's a relative of yours. And one is an ani, but he's not a relative. So we have two conflicting priorities. On one hand, there's a person who's your relative, and that goes first, but he's an usher. On the other hand, you have the ani, who always goes first, but he's not your relative. What should you do? Who should you lend the money to? So the Mishnah Halacha says that the importance of an ani outweighs the fact that the usher is a karev, and give and lend the money to the ani. The pasuk says, "Leisikbas is yadcha machicha evyon, ki peseich tiftach as yad chaloi." And we're learning now that when we speak about tzedakah, the Gemara just gave us a number of categories, ani ircha, and etc. So he says that when you open up your hand there and you see the four fingers, they're not all the same size. What does that mean? Because our Gemara just identified four different levels of giving, of lending, and the same levels apply to giving tzedakah. So the Gemara is saying is, when you open up your fingers, you'll see they're not all the same size, because the Gemara just gave us priorities. It says the Torah, "Leisikbas es yadcha." Don't close your hand, because if you're going to close your hand, then it's going to be all the same. Open your hand, and when you look, when you open your hand, you'll see that there are different levels as identified in our Gemara. The Sefer Oilus Chodesh explains what does it mean, Ania Ircha, Ania Cheres, Ania Ircha Kaidmim. So he explains that every person is considered like an ear. And what the Torah is teaching, what the Gemara is teaching us here is that a person, Ania Ircha, a person should first look at himself. A person should first look at Ania Ircha, at himself, and try to improve himself. And only after he tries to improve himself, Ania Ircha, Ania Ircha Echas Kaidim. Even though our Gemara has just learned that the halacha is that ribbis by nochri, certainly if it's kedei chayov, is mutter, the paiskim, the chachmas adam, however, says that, and as we've been learning, the rishonim were even more lenient, because as we explained, that was a very important primary way that Jews made a panasa. Says the chachmas adam that mikamakam. If somebody could avoid doing ribbis, and he shouldn't do ribbis even with nochrim, if at all possible. The Sefer Chut Hashani for Rav Nissen Karelitz says that what happens in Eretz Yisrael, b'zman hazeh, when they... The Rishonim have it explaining that since we live amongst the Goyim, so that's why if we're not going to be allowed to do ribbis, we're not going to have a source of income. And at the Yisrael, we don't live amongst Nochrim. So how can we do ribbis? So he says that since we live in a worldwide economy and all different businesses are connected to each other, if we're not going to allow ribbis in at the Yisrael, of course, in the permissible fashion, then we're going to be left with no. It's going to be like what the Rishonim explained. This is a important part of commerce, and since it's important part of commerce, that's why perhaps it becomes mutter.